It's a Bill King show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Let's do this. Take a few calls. Griff with us in about 15 minutes, Tuesday edition. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. I know it's Tuesday, but yesterday was a messed up day, man. Ran into problems. Some animal chewed my Ethernet cord. I didn't realize it until about 5 minutes before the show. It was just... Monday's supposed to be a good day. Did not kick off right. Cosby Cattleman, welcome in.
Another couple frozen gallons of turkey gumbo in the King freezer, another slightly eaten turducken in the King backyard, another cattle call, another season's greetings, Bill. Did you have a good one?
Only thing I did with that turducken is I took one bite out of the duck and then threw it out.
But the King dogs appreciated it, I'm sure.
They did.
Hey, Bill, I haven't talked to you in a while since the roller coaster ending over there in the cockpit. I still had a little trouble getting over that one. But nobody mentioned in the season ticket brochure, Danny White, Dr. Danny, Bill, that there was a Dollywood roller coaster at the end of the football season.
Is that right?
get rattled over there in the cockpit and then nuclear bomb Peabody. Nobody said the season was going to end that way.
Did you come down here to Peabody for the game?
No, pretty ugly over there. Bill, family was there, but I was doing some family stuff. No, that's pretty ugly football. Hey, Bill, one last thing. I want to talk to some coaches here, but, you know, you took calls, a lot of them from me this summer, about NIL and how ugly it probably could be. I'm sure you know this, but the word I'm getting is all that Jeremy Banks stuff was NIL stuff. Jealousy, where's my money, Hendon Hooker's on a Mercedes dealer commercial over here now riding around town in a big Mercedes. It's my understanding that all that Jeremy Banks stuff was the ugly head of NIL reared its ugly head, ruined the season.
You've got some people – that have websites that are saying that's not true, but I'm hearing the argument did not start that way, but it ended up with NIL.
Yeah. But you know, Hendon Hooker, I'll have to tell you, he's all over. He's a Mercedes man over here now. But I'll tell you one other thing, Bill. The South Carolina game, it was embarrassing and all that, but Tennessee just got rattled. I'm sure you know, but Spencer Rattler, wasn't he the number one recruit coming out of high school before he lost his job over at Oklahoma?
Hadn't played like that in a long time, but he did that night. You're right.
Yeah, and against Clemson, too. But we got rattled. Sucks, we got rattled. Now, Bill, as for everybody wanting to weasel into the Sugar Bowl, I don't see Tennessee getting into the playoff, but I think a week in the Keys sounds pretty good to me. Isle Mirada, here we come. Call up Jimmy Johnson. Let's go do some tuna fishing.
So if they play in the Orange Bowl, will you go?
Bill, if they go to the Orange Bowl, I'm on the Allegiant Airlines booking tickets. Middle Keys, little Tavernier, little Marathon, little Jimmy Johnson, little Blue Marlin. Bill, down there in the Keys, if you need a lobster, you just put your hand in the water and pull one out. Don't even need a trap. Hey, Bill, one thing I want to ask you about some coaches real quick and clear out. I was looking at everybody's favorite website, coacheshotseat.com, late in the season here. Let me throw some numbers at you, see how you react to some of these coaches. Tony Franklin, remember him, Bill? Dabo's right-hand man was too good for UT.
Yeah.
Number 30 at UVA. Drinkwitz, the man with the big raise, he's number 28. How do you wind up moving up the coach's hot seat and get a raise? Is that college football in 2023, Bill? How's that
yes.
work?
Yes.
Here's the mind-blowing one to me, Bill. Remember old Matt Campbell 2 or 3 years ago? The shiniest car on the lot, could have any job in America. Didn't take him. Now he's 26 on coach's hot seat. Matt Campbell. We haven't heard about him in a while, have we?
Not in a good way.
Yeah. The Virginia Tech guy, that old Virginia Tech, that's a good program over here, Bill. That Brent Pry, you know anything about him? He's 15. A bad hire.
He's over here at Peabody for a while.
Was he? He was a Peabody guy.
Then went to Penn State with James Franklin.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and old Gator Dave, let's talk about Sunbelt Billy for a second.
Yeah.
Year one, losing to Peabody and Kentucky in the same season. That's a great way to start off a 10-year, isn't it? Was Gator Dave giving us some good insight on that? I missed his interview. I have to catch it on the archive.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't trying to shill for him. No.
Losing to Peabody. Brent Venables, Bill, number 8 at Oklahoma. You don't think they're calling Sexton, do you, on line 3 on the bat phone?
They have another year like this, and I don't know that he gets to year 3, and I never say stuff like that after 2 years.
You think they'll call Heupel?
Oh, I don't – they fired Heupel. I don't know.
I know. Yeah, I know. You think they might go with their hat in their hand, call up Sexton on the bat phone?
I don't know. Now, hey, let me – since you're up there, what about – Joe Milton still can't locate his fastball. Do they really think they can go 10-2 again with him?
Bill, the word I'm getting is Tennessee's in the portal for a bridge quarterback on the way to Nico. I think Milton's going to leave.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, he's terrible. You can't go into year 3 with that guy. I heard, Bill, you were putting up those hurricane shutters at your house down in Winston County because you were scared Joe Milton was going to throw one of those screen passes and hit your house. Hey, Bill, last thing, I hate to go leave you a call on a downer here, but let's pray for the folks down there in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, even Memphis. They got a bullseye on them tonight for long train, not hurricanes. I mean, not tornadoes, the worst of all. So pray for the people in Mississippi and Memphis.
Yeah,
hang in there,
bad.
Bill.
All right. That is bad. I don't know. Patton, is that a mark-the-tape moment about Joe Milton misfiring to the point where he runs one right through the window of my house?
Definitely a mark-the-tape.
Yeah, Tennessee's going to have to do something. They can't go into the season with him at quarterback. And again, maybe Nico Amalava takes over, but you cannot predict that. He is going to take over, but you can't say he takes over when it's time to take the first snap. You can't say that. You cannot bank on that. You bank on, as he mentioned, a bridge quarterback to get you to when he's ready. That's what you bank on. And now think about this. Josh Heupel and that offense, it's the number one scoring offense, number one total yardage offense at the end of 12 games. You don't think quarterbacks in the portal would be drooling to get their hands on that offense? I mean, you would think so. Isn't the whole point, if you're a quarterback, obviously you want to win, that's big, but you are given the ball in an offense that can put up as many points as possible. Now, again, there's issues with that, like what are you doing on defense? But just from a quarterback attractiveness in the portal, you'd think quarterbacks would be drooling to get their hands on that. We'll see what happens. Griff coming up here in a couple of minutes. Yeah, that was a mark-the-tape moment. That was pretty good. So Joe Milton is playing Neyland Stadium or Peabody. Could be Peabody. He's going to throw a screen pass. Ends up all the way into Franklin through my window at my house. That's pretty good. Smoke doctor, yeah, and so before he plays a game, I put up hurricane shutters. I board up all the windows. Smoke doctor. Bill, the last Buckeye kickoff return for a TD was 2010, Jordan Hall. Last punt return for a TD was 2014, Jalen Marshall. Way too long to consider the Buckeyes' special teams a success. They should hire Ted Ginn Jr. as a special teams coach and fix this. Didn't Ted Ginn Jr. Wasn't it a kickoff return to open the Florida game in 06 or January of 07, 06 season? Wasn't that the game? Now, it didn't really matter because after that, Florida handled them pretty good, but didn't that game begin that way? Jim and Jupiter, his team went 9-3, absolutely get a pass. Meaning, and I don't mean we're giving them a pass, it's passing great. Pass or fail. Went through that this morning. Says, my thoughts on recruiting. Florida State has to do better recruiting high school players. I'd like to see two new assistants that are recruiting studs. The thought that the portal will dry up for Florida State is crazy, in my opinion, because players see they can be developed coming here. No, I don't think that's going to dry up. Taylor down in Georgia. With the year two jump in Gainesville and Milton at quarterback, that becomes a propelling win for the Gators under this new coaching staff. I can't think, and again, everybody prays. Joe Milton's a good dude. And he looks like an NFL guy. He's 6'5", 250. He's got everything except, and he's even got the arm talent. Now, but the talent part, you have to break into categories. He's got the arm talent, the arm strength. He does not have the arm accuracy at all. My question again, you're 22, 23 years of age. Do you all of a sudden, having no history of being accurate consistently, become accurate? At what point are you what you are? That's the question. And who would they target? Notre Dame needs to go in the transfer portal. C.J. Carr is not getting there until 24. Kenny Minchie's not ready to go and take the Notre Dame job. It's a good pickup for them. You can't count on Tyler Buchner because he doesn't stay healthy. Drew Pine's simply not good enough. What do? You better go find somebody to bridge to the future. The problem you have at Notre Dame is it's very difficult. The transfer portal for them is really hard. You can't just go to the administration and say, we just found a quarterback, let him in. Don't work that way there. Coach C says, now don't forget about Taven Jackson for the Vols. Listening to Heupel early season saying that Taven was built for the Heupel offense. If Milton struggles, he turns to Taven first. I'd still go get a transfer, man. That's a redshirt freshman. Now, maybe that kid's ready. I mean, that's possible, but I would have insurance waiting. I don't think that, and based on what I just saw, and again, the game was so one-sided, it's people weren't even paying attention. Milton was not good at all, other than that first pass. Other than that first one to Hyatt. And that, I mean, he was so far wide open. You going to miss that one too? That's the thing about Milton. Milton doesn't just miss. I mean, he misses by a mile. All right, we'll take the break. Griff, when we come back, I'll be Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Steady flow of traffic continues out of Rutherford County on 24 westbound up through the Hickory Hollow area. A crash on the ML King Bridge there at Clarksville Pike in Bordeaux getting some attention. The intersection was tied up in Hermitage a few minutes ago on a crash. Lebanon Pike at Spence Lane and 2500 block of Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch. The fire department still on the scene of that particular crash. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is catering during the holiday season. Check out that menu today. Log on to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach. Give the gift of play with the team at Play It Again Sports in Brentwood and Hendersonville. Stop in and stock up on a huge selection of new and gently used gear and equipment. Maybe you need some cash for the holidays. If you have too many bikes, inline skates, hockey, or other sports gear that you don't use anymore or it doesn't fit, Get cash on the spot for your unused gear at Play It Again Sports in Brentwood and Hendersonville. They have the trained staff to help you sell your gear and help you find the perfect gift for the holidays, like a new baseball bat, lacrosse stick, yoga and workout gear, or equipment for a home gym. Or maybe you're like me and you love perusing golf clubs. Go check out what they have in their used inventory. I'm always in the Hendersonville store checking out their used golf clubs. So get cash for your holiday gifts when you sell your gear at Play It Again Sports in Brentwood and Hendersonville. And make sure to tell them Zach from Nashville Sports Radio sent you. That's Play It Again Sports in Brentwood and Hendersonville.
From the big game to the big dance, Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is your game day and watch party headquarters. Don't worry about entertaining guests and trying to feed everyone. Sit back, relax, cheer on your team, and let the Bar Line staff take care of you. Grab a Bar Line signature cocktail and enjoy some wicked deviled eggs. Or a Bar Line's double stack and finish it off with some Jack and Coke chocolate cake. Bust your belly and your bracket at Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown.
It's a Bill King show.
In Little League football, they play it off. You can't do it in college football, Bill. You got to come up with a bunch of computers and some BCS cockamamie scheme. My answer was yes. It's unique. Absolutely love it. I go into my garage every day and make sure there are no dust particles on those BCS computers. I do that.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, high near 70. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, low around 45. Mostly cloudy in the morning, then clearing, high near 55. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
The AJC's Dog Nation. Griff, now that we've got 12 regular season games completed, what did you learn or see in the SEC this year? What perhaps surprised you?
Well, probably the parity. You know, I mean, I didn't think it was top-heavy at all. And you saw that with Texas A&M, a team that had lost, what, I think six straight SEC games, beats the West Division champion LSU Bayou Bengals. You know, that was pretty interesting. Saw Vanderbilt rise up and beat Kentucky and Florida. Saw South Carolina trash Tennessee. You know, all sorts of games that pointed to parity this year. Saw Ole Miss get off to a great start, and then Lane Kiffin loses, what, three out of his last four games. So, you know, I think the parity is probably more than anything. And even Georgia, you know, even though they're so dominant that Kirby Smart's not even the leading candidate to win SEC Coach of the Year, despite the biggest rebuilding effort in the history of college football, losing 15 NFL draft picks. And he's not even favored to win SEC Coach of the Year, which is remarkable. You know, heck, they were down 10 points to Missouri in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were down at, you know, there's been times when Georgia's looked downright beatable, and they're the league's best team, unquestionably. So Alabama losing a couple of games this year, that was kind of interesting. Could have lost a couple more. Needed the last-second plays to beat a couple other teams. So I think the league parity is probably the biggest thing that stands out.
What about Georgia heading into this LSU game? Any concerns?
Yeah, plenty of them. They haven't been playing real good offensively. Stetson Bennett hasn't been playing real well. I mean, he hadn't really played well, I don't think, since the Tennessee game. He's had you know, flashes. He's had some moments, but he's also had some turnovers. And, you know, Kirby's kind of taken the ball out of his hands, and, you know, they've kind of been running the ball a lot more. Kenny McIntosh has emerged, had a couple of really big efforts. What do you have, 173 total yards in the last game, rushing and catching, and I think 140-some the game before. So, really been relying heavily on Kenny McIntosh to carry the team the last couple games. LSU, nothing to lose, pretty good defensive front. guess we'll have to see what Jaden Daniels' health status is. I mean, if he's mobile, he's dangerous. If he's not, you know, they're sitting duck and probably don't have a chance. But, yeah, I don't think Georgia's been playing their best football since the Tennessee game.
What about red zone struggles?
Well, that goes back to quarterback play, just to put it bluntly. And everybody wants to dance around it and not call out the elephant in the room, but that's what it comes down to. Your quarterback's got to make good decisions at the line of scrimmage and be able to make pinpoint passes because the field shrinks down. You know, Stetson's had a couple of nice touchdown runs. I think he's got 7 rushing touchdowns this year. But he hasn't been very dangerous, you know, throwing the ball. And Georgia doesn't want to take many chances. To be clear on this, a lot of this is volume. They've really cut down his passing opportunities. He hasn't thrown the ball as much because Kirby doesn't want to, you know, risk turnovers because Stetson's had 5 picks in the last 5 games. And could have had a couple more. So they're being really careful with their pass game right now. Kirby's done what he's needed to do to get the team to this juncture. He's not going to try to squeeze out any more offense than he needs to. I don't expect that trend to change against LSU because I don't think LSU can put up a lot of points on Georgia. But when we get to the playoffs here in about another month, I think you'll see a different approach from Georgia offensively.
Do you think Southern Cal, Utah game coming up, game 2 between those two, and then TCU, Kansas State, chances for an upset?
What, in those conference title games?
Correct.
You look at the history, and Southern Cal lost to Utah once. It was in Utah. I just read this morning, though, somebody bet like $900,000 on Southern Cal. It's like the biggest bet of the postseason. It's pretty remarkable. Right. I think Southern Cal's playing really good right now. I'd have a hard time picking against them. Climate control environment. I believe that game's in Las Vegas, in the Raiders' new stadium. So, chances of an upset, it's a pretty close spread. It's not that much of an upset if Utah wins, but I don't know, maybe 35%. And then you look at Kansas State and TCU, they played earlier this year, and, Kansas State was actually winning that game 28-10. TCU had to come from behind to beat Kansas State. Again, I don't know how much of an upset that would really be. TCU's the favorite, the betting favorite, but, Kansas State's only what? I think they've only got 3 losses. It's a pretty good football team. So I'd probably say the same there. I like the teams that are favored, that are, in line to play in conference championship and to play in the playoffs. But I'd give both of those teams more than a puncher's chance. I'd say 1-3 opportunity for one of those two teams each, and then maybe 50-50 that one of the two teams loses.
Could TCU lose and still get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I think a 1-loss TCU trumps because of the nature of the Ohio State loss to Michigan. And I really just don't think they want to put 2 teams from 1 conference in again if they can avoid it. And nobody will say that out loud. But, again, I think that, in the interest of what's coming with the college football playoff, and, of course, that's being held up by the Rose Bowl right now. And the latest on that is the Rose Bowl might just get dealt out of the mix. If they're going to be that obstinate, they might just say, you know what, forget you. We'll just play another game in Los Angeles in SoFi Stadium and see you later, Rose Bowl. You don't want to be a part of it? Get out. Which I'm for. I'm down for. When tradition gets in the way of progress, there's a problem. And the Rose Bowl's created problems for a while. They've been a headache. And as beautiful as that stadium is, college football can do just fine without it. So getting back to the point, though, I think so.
Griff, were you surprised at Michigan's dominance again over the Buckeyes?
Only mildly. I picked Ohio State to win because it was in Columbus. And, I thought C.J. Stroud in the passing game could be too much. But I thought Michigan looked better than Ohio State earlier this year, and I said that a few times. What was holding me back on Michigan in my rankings was that their non-conference schedule was terrible. They play UConn, Colorado State, and Hawaii. I mean, it was literally the second weakest Power 5 non-conference schedule in the country, only to UCLA. So that kind of held me back, because it's like, well, if you're not going to play anybody, then Ohio State beat Notre Dame. And that, to me, that was just kind of a feather in the cap that they played them and that they beat them. And I think Notre Dame was still good, not great this year, but pretty good opponent. So, not really that surprised. Maybe I was a little surprised by the second half dominance. I think Ohio State got outscored 28-3 in the second half at home. Don't see that too often. I think there's a lot of questions about Ryan Day right now.
I mean, you go 11-1, but and Griff, you're from up that way. You're from Michigan, but that one is damaging. Now they're not going to fire him, but what if he loses another one next year?
No, it's a new day and age, right? I mean, it's not much patience in society, and it's a step down. I mean, after you've dominated Michigan for so long, and then this guy takes over and you don't, I mean, it's yeah, I mean, they're not playing for second at Ohio State with the resources and the money that they have, I mean, and the talent. You know, the fact that Jim Harbaugh's kind of passed them up. I still think Michigan benefited greatly by playing Georgia last year. I think Michigan saw where the bar was set and realized we got a lot more work to do. And when you get humbled like Michigan did by Georgia last year, you know, I think that the program responded and said, look, as hard as we're working, guys, we got to work harder. Because Georgia just kicked their tails last year. I mean, that was complete domination. Score could have been much worse. What was it, 38-11? Could have been 63-3 if Kirby keeps the starters in and keeps firing away on offense. But I think that was a benefit to Michigan. I think Harbaugh and Michigan responded. I think the Big Ten, I think there's more parity in college football in general, Bill. We're not seeing great teams. Like, and I know Georgia fans get mad when I say this, but like Georgia's not like, again, this is such a standard, but this isn't 2019 Joe Burrow LSU. It's not 2020 Alabama Mac Jones. We're not seeing those, or even 2018 Tua or 2018 Clemson Trevor Lawrence or even the Deshaun Watson version of Clemson. We're not seeing greatness. We're seeing really good. And I think that's because of the transfer portal, where programs can't just hoard the athletes anymore and have, you know, 3-4 deep. Because those guys are saying, you know what, I could be third string here. I could go somewhere else and start quicker. And I think that's what's happening.
Griff, what is your projection 1 through 7 or 8 tonight from the committee?
Well, what I would vote is different than what the committee's going to do, because I think Tennessee is better than Ohio State and Alabama. And they, if you're just saying best team, I think I'd pick, even though they lost, I know they lost Hendon Hooker, but Milton did enough to impress me, and I never thought there'd be a day when I'd use Vanderbilt as any kind of a barometer or a standard, but it did. To see them beat Vanderbilt 56-0 was impressive, just because of the way Vanderbilt had played the previous two outings. And I don't think Vanderbilt laid down for Tennessee. I think Tennessee's that good. And so I think they're better than those other two teams. But based on the metrics, I just think they'll keep Ohio State 5. It's simple. It's clean. It's one loss versus two-loss teams. You know, you say, man, you know, of all years, you know, for Tennessee, you finally beat, you know, Alabama. And, you know, because, you know, you lose to Georgia, if you play the number one team in the country, it keeps you out. If Ohio State would have played them, they'd have lost too, by the way. So it's almost unfair, you know, because the schedule strength of Tennessee is much tougher than Ohio State. But it's you know, it's the card you're dealt. I mean, playing the SEC has its perks. Players from all over the country want to play in the best league. You know, but the negative is you got to play that league schedule. So what I think it'll look like tonight is I think you'll have obviously 1 Georgia, 2 Michigan, although there's some people saying that Michigan might ought to be number one, which is just, again, you can tell who's been paying attention and who hasn't. You can tell who the Johnny-come-latelys are, right, because they haven't been paying attention if they think Michigan should be ahead of Georgia. So Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, USC 4, Ohio State 5. They'll probably put Alabama ahead of Tennessee just because the sample size with Milton isn't that big, and Tennessee did lose a guy that I think is going to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. So they'll probably go Alabama 6, Tennessee 7, and then I don't even know if it matters after that. And, you know, Clemson really wet the bed. Clemson would have been the team that would have been in that on-deck circle had they beat South Carolina, which is what I thought would happen 2 or 3 weeks ago.
How impressed are you with the Beamer, 8-4 in year two, beat Tennessee and Clemson to finish the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw Georgia beat them 48-6, and I thought, boy, this could be a long year for South Carolina. You got to be impressed. You know, I think Shane's done a great job, and you know, it's interesting because when I talked to him at the SEC spring meetings in Destin, you know, I go back with Shane to when he was at Tennessee back past 20 some years ago, and I pulled him aside and I said, man, did I read a quote somewhere where you said that, you know, when you were under Coach Spurrier, when you were on that South Carolina staff with Coach Spurrier, you beat Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee in the same year or something like that, Alabama, Clemson. I can't remember. He's like, he goes, yeah, we're going to do it again. I said, I'm not quoting you on that, Shane. I mean, what do you think? He goes, no, I'm telling you, we're going to do it again. And I'm like, wow, okay. He hadn't even been drinking, you know. I'm like, all right, okay, well, good luck, you know. Doggone if he didn't just beat the junk out of Tennessee and beat Clemson. Like, I thought, okay, you beat Tennessee. You caught the Vols on a bad night. You caught them unprepared. Maybe they weren't quite ready. They weren't dialed in. It's on the road. It's under the lights in the SEC. Anything can happen. I saw a really good Tennessee team with Josh Dobbs that I think was, you know, I thought their offense was every bit as good. Wasn't schematically as explosive. But when you look at the talent that they had with Alvin Kamara and Juwan Jennings, I mean, that was a mega talented offense. Josh Dobbs was an incredible college quarterback, explosive. I think he was a better runner than Hooker. Maybe not as good a thrower, but a better runner. Very close, comparing those two. But and I saw them lose on the road to South Carolina. So I thought, okay, but for them to go into Clemson, into Death Valley, was Clemson playing for a chance at the college football playoff after winning, what, 5 or 6 in a row in that series, dominating that series, maybe even more than that? I'm trying to think how many in a row Clemson had beat South Carolina. It's been a long time since I met maybe Spurrier last one to beat him. So that was the one where I said, holy cow, you know, is this really happening? You know, and it did. And what does it say about the SEC, right? So that ain't the team I saw lose 48-6 to Georgia. So, yeah, give him credit. Give Brian Kelly credit. You know, nobody thought LSU was going to be in the SEC championship game. He took over a terrible culture. You know, it was a question mark with this transfer from Arizona State at quarterback. He's had injuries. He's had to coach. He's had setbacks. Okay, they lost Florida State in the opener. Lost bad at home to Tennessee. You know, they just kept winning. Got to give him credit. And obviously what Heupel's done is remarkable. I mean, it was a great run. It was a great 10-win season. But I think what Kirby's done is even more impressive. I mean, he lost 15 guys in the draft, 13 guys in the portal, 4 assistant coaches, and you're still number one. To me, isn't it about winning? Like, I don't know when SEC Coach of the Year became like, you know, some sad sack award for the guy that never did get it done but came close. This is America. We, you know, being in first still counts for something, doesn't it?
Griff, we'll see you next week.
All right, appreciate it, Bill.
Mike Griffith, the AJC's Dog Nation. Every Tuesday with us. If you get your own show someday, try and get Griff on there. He'll fill up some space for you. Now, Griff does a good job. Ags and Strohs. Bill, Jimbo cut loose Daryl Dickey yesterday as the scapegoat. Now, Daryl, we're not talking about, if you're a Tennessee fan, not that Daryl Dickey, the son of Doug Dickey. This is a different Daryl Dickey. This is the son of Jim Dickey. They played at Kansas State anyways. He had been at Memphis, actually. He'd been a lot of places. Anyways, he says, what are you hearing? He said he's hearing Brian Hartline may get up. I don't think Hartline's going to leave Ohio State unless somebody gives him a coordinator job. And not only in name, but lets him actually do it. Right? I just don't see that. Anyway, we'll take the break. Good stuff with Griff there. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic volume still moving right now on 24 coming in from the Joelton area. They're still on the scene of a couple of wrecks from earlier. 3800 block of Brick Church Pike. That one had some injuries. The fire department's still there, as a matter of fact. Smith Springs Road at Bell Road was tied up on a non-injury accident about 15 minutes ago. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is catering during the holiday season. Check out that awesome website at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Nashville's first curling venue is here at T-Line Nashville. Come check out T-Line Nashville and experience the world's fastest growing winter sport today. Curling is a fun and simple sport that's a perfect outing for friends, corporate events, families, or parties. T-Line also has classic bowling and modern bowling mini games. With over 20 HD TVs, you can come watch your favorite teams and some of the best food and drinks here in Nashville in the large bar and grill area. They also have an outdoor area with a fire pit, and you can't forget the live music. T-Line Nashville is a one-stop shop for a great night out. Located at 106 Duluth Avenue and online at tlinenash.com, you can book your party now or give them a call at 615-439-1024. That's 615-439-1024. And make sure you give them a follow on Instagram and Facebook at T-Line Nash for all the news, events, and updates. T-Line Nashville, Nashville's first curling venue, is here. Get a taste of the tropics without ever leaving Nashville at Hawaiian Izakaya. The Heart, voted to have the best creative cocktails in Music City. Located inside Bento Living Chestnut Hill, The Heart is open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and drinks Tuesday through Sunday. Plus, brunch on the weekends. Expect fresh, locally sourced shareable plates, poke, yakitori, handcrafted cocktails, and aloha vibes. Visit theheartnashville.com to view the menu and make a reservation today.
NFL Plus is here, which means no matter where you are, this is how you football.
Let's go!
You can stream live, local, and primetime regular season games on your phone or tablet. 45-minute game replays and more.
That's how you do it right there.
This is the NFL for every fan. This is football freedom. This is your game on the go. Wherever you are, this is how you football. Go to plus.nfl.com/radio and start your free trial of NFL Plus today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Sammy Kincaid, host of Power Hour with Sammy Kincaid. Every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, listen in as I highlight women in sports from high school to the pros, athletes and administrators. And you know what? Let's talk some ball with women covering the game across the country. Power Hour with Sammy Kincaid is every Saturday morning. Listen in on Nashville Sports Radio from 9 to 10 a.m.
King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's right, free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up and use the promo code BKING, be king. My kids, my older ones, they're of age, have so much fun. One of them, and they always put a little money on parlays. And just $5, $10, and it's always a long parlay that's tough. One of my boys was down to Oregon having simply to beat Oregon State this last Saturday. They were up, and then, of course, you saw what happened. Oregon State came back and won the game. I think his $10, $5 was going to yield him about 140. Anyways, they have so much fun with it. They were in there screaming at the TV, having a blast, though. The app, that's right, the FanDuel app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Just sign up today. Use that promo code BKING for your no sweat first bet. That's the promo code BKING. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the National Football League. Must be at least 21, present in the state of Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Good friends at FanDuel. Yeah, it's been a good relationship with them. Other than that, though, for Ags and Stros, back to the situation there, obviously their offense is in need. Now, they clicked there that last game. Now, that doesn't fix 5-7, but it did click against a quality opponent. That quarterback, Wegman, is a former five-star. He's got a lot of arm talent. We'll see what happens. Here's an interesting one. M. Roos, Bill, got in late to the show. Future Irish quarterback, maybe, leaving A2. Cade has entered the portal. He's talking about Cade McNamara. A2 would be Ann Arbor, in case you don't know. Styles are similar between the two offenses, can run if needed, accurate, and he's got the academics. Would Notre Dame look into that? That'd be kind of a Jack Cohn plug-in. I don't know that he's as good as Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn was pretty good. Would that be something they would look at if you're Notre Dame? They need a bridge bad at quarterback. Nathan in Detroit. Bill, and he's a Michigan fan, watched Milton at Michigan. He was so inaccurate, just throwing the ball 100 miles an hour at all receivers. Yeah, the finesse part of that doesn't look to be much better. And again, he is incredibly inaccurate. They've got to do something. I would think Heupel would go into the portal. If he can get, and I don't know if the Hornsby kid at Arkansas fits that category. He's a really fast guy, right? I don't know if he fits. I don't know which fit he'd be looking at right now. Your quarterback is going to be Nico Iamaleva, but the question is when. Buckeye Brenda. Bill, Griff is a good egg. He understands football rivalries and tradition. He gets it. He's a true A-lister in my book. Griff's good. I don't expect anybody to agree with everything he says. Griff's going to be out there. He's going to say things that are provocative. That's part of his charm. Griff is not looking for my consensus or your consensus. He's not. He's not looking for plurality at all. Topwater Assassin. Bill, are you hearing Tennessee Clemson in the Orange Bowl if Clemson wins the ACC? I think I've heard something about that. I, frankly, guys, I don't. And I'll watch the bowl games. I don't know if I watch every one of them because some of them are just useless. But I have heard that rumor. But I don't even pay attention. The bowl projections aren't even something my mind thinks about much. Now, we're going to have all that laid out on Sunday. We're going to know what's up. And I guess we'll have rumors throughout this week. It's only Tuesday. But that would be a cool game. Lots of if you hate orange out there, y'all, if you hate orange, you're not going to want to watch that. They're going to be orange everywhere. If orange irritates you, then you're going to be blinded when you see that game. Yeah, you're gonna hurt by seeing that game. Because that one is going to be interesting. Jeff, too. Bill, I sent this tweet yesterday at the end of the show. I thought I would send it again today. He said, Auburn football hires the last 40 years, he says, in my opinion, have been outstanding. He talks about Terry Bowden, won his first 20 games. Tuberville won the West twice, went undefeated in 04, beat Bama 6 times in a row. Gene Chizik, 8-4 in his first year, had the Alabama 09 team on the ropes, won the Natty in 2010. Gus won the SEC in his first season, one play away from winning the Natty in 13. On and on and on. Harrison, he said, was the only outlier in the last 40 years. All those coaches had some significant level of success. Very good list. All right, we'll get another break here. Tuesday edition. Mark it down. about 50 right now. Nothing big. Yesterday was a pretty big down day. Ended up down around 500 points. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic volume still moving right now on 24 coming in from the Joelton area. They're still on the scene of a couple of wrecks from earlier. 3800 block of Brick Church Pike. That one had some injuries. The fire department's still there, as a matter of fact. Smith Springs Road at Bell Road was tied up on a non-injury accident about 15 minutes ago. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is catering during the holiday season. Check out that awesome website at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Located at 5410 Murfreesboro Road in the heart of Laverne, City Slickers is one-stop shopping for all your liquor, beer, and wine needs and has been a multiple winner annually in the Best of Rutherford County voting for Best Liquor Store and Top Wine Shop. Featuring the lowest prices, the best customer service with unsurpassed knowledge, City Slickers offers the largest craft beer selection in Rutherford and southeastern Davidson counties and has beer on tap at its Growler Filling Station. City Slickers also sells mixers, sodas, snacks, tobacco products, and the Tennessee Lottery, and can place special orders and assist with all your events and even wedding planning. Make sure you follow City Slickers on all their social media or just give them a call at 615-280-7469. That's 615-280-7469. Located in the heart of Laverne, City Slickers.
As a professional realtor in Nashville for more than 40 years, Richard Courtney is one of the city's top-ranked real estate brokers. He's also the author of two books and the real estate columnist for the Nashville Ledger. What does all of this mean to you as a home buyer or seller? Expert knowledge, guidance, and trust. Give Richard Courtney a call today at 615-300-8189. That's 615-300-8189. Or online at richardcourtney.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap throughout the offseason. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy. This week is Champions Week. We've got stuff going on from Nashville. We've got Jeff Burton and Dale Earnhardt Jr. still talking about Ross Chastain and the move at Martinsville. And Roger Penske is getting a big award. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interview, stats, and info every single weekday right here. Like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely, high near 70. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, low around 45. Mostly cloudy in the morning, then clearing, high near 55. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Jeff, too, Bill, I almost stood up and clapped when Griff chewed out the Rose Bowl. I cannot agree more. Rose Bowl has held the BCS and playoffs hostage for 25 years. Screw them, Bill. Let them have their stupid traditions while the rest of us move on. That one will be interesting. At some point, you do have to move on. Very true. Kevin in Muletown. Bill, what quarterback's going to want to transfer to Tennessee when they're looking at Joe and Nico? A quarterback transfer is going to want a guarantee. Well, now, yes, I'll go with you halfway there. Nico's going to be the quarterback. We don't know when, but that ball's going to be his. But you can't bank on that immediately as a true freshman. Joe Milton shouldn't scare anybody. Joe Milton is still an incredibly inefficient quarterback in the passing game. Didn't show me a lick of improvement in that Vanderbilt game. And I don't know how, look, if they go into that season next year and they say Joe Milton's going to be our quarterback until Nico gets it, you're going to lose some games with him because you're not good enough at quarterback. He is 5 or 6 years into his first year was 18, and he's still the same inaccurate quarterback. So I don't know how Josh Heupel sits pat unless he thinks one of those other backup kids, the redshirt freshman kid, is ready, maybe. I mean, that could be. But I don't know how you can bank on Joe Milton is your quarterback this next year. I'm not a believer at all. Yes, Nico is an early enrollee. That is good. And maybe he takes the ball and runs with it. Now, again, he's a incredibly gifted quarterback. And they need to get him in the weight room bad because he looks like they list him at 6'5", 6'6", 195. He looks like he's about 170. Now, he may be that much because of how tall he is, but I'm telling you now, he needs to be 215, 220, which with that body, with that frame, easily can be done. He has a ton of ability, though. I do know that. Yeah, I do know that. Nico Iamaleva. From Cali. Tomorrow, Brett Ciancia will be with us from Pick 6 Previews. Always a pleasure. And Blake Ruffino will join us from down in the boot. Oh, I want to have Johnny Crawford back. I don't know what his assignment is. I don't know who they've assigned for the SEC championship game. I don't know that. But I do want to get him back on Thursday. I want to get him back several more weeks at least. I don't know if content-wise we can go every week for a long time because we're going to run out of content. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But he's been so good. All I know is I want to have him back. That's all I know. So I'm going to try and get him back if he can swing it on Thursday. And then, of course, TJ on Thursday. No more Kevin. Remember a couple of weeks ago we lost Kevin, retiring from the show. Brad will be with us. And no, I have not done anything yet with Alabama. And Kevin Slott. Now Evie, Ole Miss Evie joins us this week. Ole Miss Evie will be with us. He's going to start joining us in that slot. But as far as filling that slot with an Alabama person, it won't be that slot. If you can find me somebody who is up to the level of Kevin, I don't even have to know the person, okay? They don't have to be in the business. I don't really care. Matter of fact, if you're not in the business, I find that even more attractive. I really do. But you find me somebody who's as well off and connected as he is, and maybe we have something. Clyde in Detroit, big Michigan fan. Bill, solution for Joe Milton. Joe, throw a 20-yard pass. Receiver, run 40 yards. That's pretty good. Taylor in Georgia. Jeff Sims, Georgia Tech QB, entered the portal. Where would the best spot for him to land? Liberty with Hugh Freeze, who's no longer there. That'd be a good one. Yeah, that would be a good one. That'd be a really good one. Topwater Assassin, Bill, nobody at Clemson is going to cry if DJ enters the Hegon Gateway. He was awful in that South Carolina game. for most of it. I think we have enough data there to where what was thought to be his freshman year, remember, he got in the Notre Dame game, played incredibly well, played phenomenally. He has regressed since his freshman year, which is odd, but true. Absolutely regressed. At Patton underscore Cook at Miller's King. Good to be back. I'm a little tired. I just did 3 hours. I mean, yesterday it was just an hour and a half, right? A little beat down. That's hard work right there. I was wandering the aisles at Walmart during the show yesterday, looking for an Ethernet cord. Now, that's my reasoning for being late. Didn't know I needed that cord until we were at airtime. Some animal came up here and chewed on that. I don't know who did it, and I don't have a video camera. I need surveillance on this stuff. I think I'm going to install that here over the holidays. Lodge Pop.